Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Lovelies, welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. It's that time of the week where we talk about things that are going to happen. Jim Campbell's with me.
Hello.
Luke Moore is with me.
All right.
Pete Donaldson's with me.
Up yours.
And I'm Marcus Speller, in case you're wondering. Now, gentlemen, we have a potential title decider if we discount Leicester and all the other teams. It's Spurs versus Arsenal. Oh my goodness, bad results for these two midweek.
I love doing this show when we have a couple of some midweek games beforehand, because we can talk about those and it's going to be fresh.
Yeah.
Fresh as a daisy. Fresh as a daisy cutter.
Jim, Arsenal have looked out of sorts since they lost to Barcelona.
Yes, they have. And it's, I mean, it's the diversity of the teams that they've failed against is interesting, isn't it? It's Hull, Barcelona,
and some others,
Man United and Swansea. And so there's a real range of teams to embarrass yourself against there. And we've passed that anti-test with flying colours.
So we had a bit of comeback from the stuff that was talked about on the Tuesday show, from people saying they didn't necessarily agree that we were talking about the culture at the club and the character that was lacking and all the, and the stuff that I guess I mostly led on, but other people. Jim, you supported me in that broadly, didn't you?
Yeah, I did wonder as well if I'd been a little harsh on Arsenal after it.
Harshnell.
And then the Swansea game happened, and I thought, no, all those problems are definitely there.
I mean, they proved you right, didn't they?
Yeah, I would be lying if I was to suggest that I wasn't pleased on a professional level that Arsenal were beaten at home by Swansea, but. I mean, I don't know, Jim, how you feel about that.
We don't want to be too fickle, because it was just one result, and if they win the next 10, which they won't, because they don't have the character.
That's the objective now, though, isn't it? You've got to win every game.
With this Arsenal thing, and certainly with the Man United game, and I guess to an extent the Swansea thing as well, because I know...
Swansea ting.
Did I say ting? I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to do that. With the Swansea ting, that I know Arsenal have got players missing and all that other stuff, but I don't think it's very easy to make an argument that even with the personnel they have missing, they shouldn't have beaten Swansea. At home, because they should have done.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Swansea have been a bit of a bogey team, but that's no one's fault but Arsenal's. I think
do bogey teams exist, though, for any particular reason? It's just a weird thing, though.
Yeah. It's a strange. That's a different
thing. And with the change around of players
as
well.
Yeah. And actually, the crazy thing that isn't really being talked about a lot is Swansea were resting a lot of players because they're looking ahead to this weekend, thinking they've got a better chance of picking up some points.
They've got tougher games to come to.
They genuinely will have, won't they? But what's odd for me is, you look back to earlier in the season, the Man United game's an interesting point. Because at the Emirates, Arsenal blitzed Man United in the first 20 minutes, were 3-0 up, put the game out of sight. They looked brilliant. They looked like world beaters. They looked really, really confident. And against on paper, a much weaker United side at Old Trafford, they were just not the same team. And it's this change in the players that I find really interesting. Because Koscielny, at times this season, earlier on in the season, he looked like one of the best defenders in the league. But now he looks like he's reenacting the League Cup final against Birmingham in every game he plays in. The difference in how they perform is absolutely astounding. And I think this is something we touched on the phone-in show that we do, but Wenger likes his players to play with a lot of freedom and so that they can just use their imagination, be creative. And the problem with that is if confidence is low, you're less imaginative, you're less creative, you play within yourself a lot more. And at that point, that's where he needs to step in and say, this is what you do, this is the game plan, this is how you deal with that player, this is how we score, this is this is how you combat their tactics, blah, 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 all that stuff, managing the team. And I wonder if he's doing that, if these same things come back to haunt us season after season when the pressure comes off.
It's making the players a bit more streetwise, isn't it? Because Wenger, and Luke, you said on the show, which is released on Tuesday, of course, that Arsenal are a mirror image of Arsene Wenger. That's the team he's created. And Arsene Wenger's brought a lot of those players through the youth ranks at Arsenal. And Wenger clearly has this kind of purist way of trying to play football now, which is very admirable. He didn't always, though. I mean, he had Vieira and Petit, who were two brutes, very cultured players, but they were quite solid.
But is it not an argument that they were sort of pragmatic brutes that allowed the steel in the midfield to create that sort of beautiful flowing attacking, counter-attacking football, which is a million miles away from what Arsenal play now.
You need pragmatic players in there. And, I mean, even a creative flair player can still be pragmatic as well. You know, it doesn't have to be one or the other. But I just think that Wenger doesn't make his players particularly canny, particularly streetwise, in a way that Sir Alex Ferguson was brilliant at doing that. And when Arsenal, they're in a scrap, they're in a battle, things aren't going their way, and so on and so forth, sometimes you see the players, and it's pretty much what you were saying, Jim, they don't seem to be equipped on the pitch to deal with that.
But could they not just sort of... sit everyone down and go, look at how Danny Welbeck's playing. Mm. Like, he's really going for people's thoughts. He's really direct. He's really sort of seems to be a bit more interested in
a man who learnt his trade under Sir Alex Ferguson.
Indeed.
Well, just buy a load of Man United players.
Like when we got Mikhail Silvestre. That was a great success.
Of all the ones you could have picked.
Yeah. But if he starts buying Man United players now, it's not going to work.
Wenger casts his eye on the shopping list of all the Man United players available and went, Silvestre's my man.
But Welbeck's an interesting one because Joel Campbell was the best player on the pitch last night and Welbeck came on for him. I mean, Wenger said that Campbell hasn't played much and he's tiring, but yeah, I mean, come on.
I'm always minded of a Graham Souness bit of punditry from years ago, not that long ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, where it was around a Champions League game. I forget the teams involved, but a team had been beaten or they had a comeback and they couldn't thwart it or whatever, and a team were disappointing. It might have even been Arsenal, actually. I can't remember. But Graham Souness said, the trouble with football and the trouble with life more broadly, and you know Souness is in one when he starts talking about stuff outside of football.
Oh, yeah.
He said, not enough people go home at night, look themselves in the mirror and say, is there anything I could have done better today? They'll look for the doubt. They'll look for other people to blame. They'll look for other circumstances. And that always reminds me, when Arsenal go for these patches, I'm always reminded of Graham Souness saying that, because I just think it's the closest you'll get to looking at a group of professional athletes and seeing the lack of confidence in them. And I don't think any other manager... I mean, there's a bit of a basket case with Aston Villa, I suppose, at the moment, and they're obviously going to be relegated, and that's clearly gone all the way through the club. But generally, at the top level, you don't really see that often. And I think it's difficult to make an argument that another top manager, another manager in that upper bracket of world managers would be having a team performing in that way with the players he's got that Arsene Wenger has. And I said this to Jim before, and I wasn't doing it just to wind him up. I said, I know what Wenger's done for Arsenal. I know that the Emirates Stadium is the house that Wenger built and 20 years at the helm and all that stuff. And he will go down in history as a great, great man, not only just in Arsenal folklore, but in English football. But 3 Premier League titles in 20 years, I don't think that's that special. I don't think it's anywhere near where it should have been. And the problem is for Wenger, actually, is that the excuses are going to run out, because if Leicester or Spurs win the Premier League this season, he cannot hide behind the excuses of financial doping and all these other things he's talked about in the past. His chickens will eventually come home to roost. And one thing I would fear, actually, is if they part on difficult terms in terms of the fans and stuff like that, because that would be a real shame. It would be a shame.
I think there's 2 points within that. For a lot of the time, and we discussed this before, the financial constraints that were put on the club... from building and paying for the Emirates Stadium go a long way to explaining, or in theory go a long way to explaining, why Arsenal didn't win more after that move. But now, I mean, we talk about Louis van Gaal, perhaps, you know, the game has moved on and he's not, you know, the manager he was. And you know, there's a lot of talk about 10-year cycles of really successful managers and how they don't really go much beyond that. And, you know, it could just be that football has moved on. You know, in the time it's taken Wenger to have money to spend on players like Sanchez and Ozil again, the game's different, and you know it's beyond his skill set now.
But you'd rather those players than not have those players.
Oh, absolutely. It's no criticism of those players.
And I mean,
where would we be without Ozil in particular?
And I think
this
a lot of people listening to this, you know, their hearts will bleed for a manager and get him in the top 4 every season.
Well, absolutely. So I think that the achievement of that, given the Danilsons and Jovinos that were in the team at the time instead of the Sanchez's and the Ozils, need to be recognised for something that they are. But as you say, I think, you know, if he can't win the league this season, when it's such an open one and there are these quality players in there, you know, is this a sign that the time's coming to an end? Yeah, I think the problem is I don't think Wenger's going to quit. The board don't care enough to sack him because they're happy for him to get in the Champions League every year and you know, make the money, and where, you know, don't know what they do with it. You never hear anything from them.
Well,
they seem absolutely fine with it. So
I think that's why what Luke was saying, that
it's all moot.
That if Arsenal don't win the league and Spurs or Leicester do, then really he's got nothing to hide behind, and it would be a great shame if they ended on bad terms, Arsenal and Arsene Wenger. But Spurs are playing in this match as well, lest we forget.
Exactly, and Arsenal are playing Spurs, of course, at White Lane at the weekend, and £10 on Arsenal. Well, what do you think that gets you, guys?
Embarrassment.
It gets you 23.
If minus you have £10.
If you have £10 in Arsenal and they do the business, you'll return £23.75 at Bet365.
Now, it's really annoying timing, actually, because we need to. You've always got to try against Spurs, so we've got to drop this. We've got to drop this pretense of being rubbish to trick Barcelona.
Yeah, it's true. It's a different one to manage that. Yeah,
Barcelona, they may be prepared for the absolute shellacking they're going to get at the New Camp now. They're idiots.
And the match next year as well.
Is it Bayern Munich next year?
Both this year. Yeah. I presume it's both every year from now on.
But then, but you've got to make sure you get in the Champions League next year, because the following year, England might lose that fourth spot.
I also found it quite interesting the way that when Wenger was asked about Peter Cech's injury, he answered with, "We have full faith in David Ospina," which is like, okay. if you need to say that.
Well, what I would say is that is a better backup keeper than what Arsenal have had for many years.
Genuinely, he's a decent keeper.
Is he a better backup keeper than Big Willie? Big Willie style.
Caballero? Well, it depends if it's a cup competition or a final of a cup competition. I think that Arsenal, actually, we're talking about the signings and whatnot. That's one place. Obviously, they have strengthened this year with Petr Cech, but they've got a decent number two. But he's not Petr Cech. But I don't think the game will be won and lost on that. I think that Arsenal have had it their way in the North London derby for so many years. And I do think that this could be an enormous shift. Spurs, they lost to West Ham. Of course, that is a difficult place to go. It's the first time they were beaten in the league since they were beaten at home by Leicester on the 13th of January. They were flying until then. How Spurs will react from that will be very, very different. But actually, for Spurs fans, they may think, oh, blimey, we've just lost to one rival. Do we really want another rival? Actually, I think you could flip that. Because if Spurs then had to go away to Newcastle not Newcastle, that's a guaranteed three.
That's so
away,
unnecessary.
I know, sorry, pal.
No, I found it very necessary.
But actually, what do you want straight after a loss? Actually, another derby, everybody's right back up for it.
Well, yeah, the pressure of maintaining the run of wins goes. Doesn't it? But also, there's a couple of bits of pressure, though, because there's still the pressure of retaining the winning mentality, but also the pressure of going into the North London derby as very, very clear favourites. Where normally, even when the teams have been close, it's been exactly that. It's been close, but everyone's expecting Tottenham to win this. So that's a pressure they're not used to, and how will they cope with that? Because I would think the majority of people, they were by far the better team
at
the Emirates,
majority of people,
and they still didn't win. So, you know, there are still question marks.
Would you take a point, Jim?
You would, wouldn't you? You would.
No, we've got.
I'm begging you to.
We've got to go for the win. Arsenal need to arrest the slump. And what better way to do it?
On the Spurs thing, before I move on to the Spurs thing, sorry, I said that a £10 on Arsenal would get you £23.75. It's actually £28.75. So it's a slightly better bet tonight than I said. I misspoke. Yeah. To quote a famous politician. But with the Spurs thing, it's very interesting. I'll take your points about the guaranteed three that up at St James's. We do like that every week. Unfortunately, we can't.
Don't have got me. Just
doesn't like it every week. One of us really doesn't like it every week.
No, that's true.
I like it every week. To be honest, when we're starting to get beaten one, I go for three.
Yeah.
You know, at least I can revel in the anger.
Why can't some people here at least just enjoy themselves? Why have we all got to suffer?
Pete's just summed up his supporters with that. At least I can revel in the anger.
Yeah. At least I've got something.
All he wants is a goal for Big Mitro. Yeah. That's all he wants. But on the Spurs season, there's two schools of thought around the West Ham result. There's the one where they look like they were fluffing clearances and fluffing chances in front of goal and looking a bit panicky on the ball because they were nervous under pressure. And then there's the Spurs fan point of view, which is like, no, it was fine. You know, West Ham are a good team, whatever. Mm. Well, we'll find out one way or the other against Arsenal because there's loads of pressure on that game for lots of different reasons. Yeah. And it's going to be a fascinating one to watch.
West Ham pressured Tottenham really well. And that,
I agree.
They pressed them really highly. They shut the fullbacks down. That was clearly the intention from the start. So that whether Wenger will look at that as a template of how to play against Tottenham at White Hart Lane remains to be seen, but that certainly seems to be the way you've got to beat them. It's got to be high pressure. You've got to be committed the whole game because they're
Arsenal,
so quick.
Arsenal are not in a position to be able to do that at the moment.
Yeah. Well, they don't look like they are, but you know, at some point they've got to pull their socks up and just try for a whole game.
Yeah. West Ham, they're playing Everton away. They are They're a point off fourth. Can they do... This is ridiculous, isn't it? Because everybody seems to be going for a Champions League spot. Will this be the first season in which eight teams finish in the top four?
Yeah, feels like it should be.
It's like in the same way that Spurs have kind of sleptwalked to a pretty good finish. West Ham are kind of doing that as well, eh? They've kind of gone on the radar.
Because they
fell off a little bit. They had a good start, fell off, and now they're kind of back again.
And we know West Ham prefer to play against bigger teams. Or perhaps they do. They've got Chelsea and Leicester away and Arsenal at home still to come. I mean,
what an amazing end of season for their last season in their ground. I mean, that would be amazing if they get into Europe.
A win over Spurs at Upton Park, they would be
loving that.
Yeah,
absolutely loving
that so much in the last season.
The West Ham thing is an interesting one because they go to Everton, as you said. You never know what you're going to get with Everton. Although you can sort of rely on them to concede, generally speaking, so that's a great plus point for them. I think this is a big game for West Ham. It could signal where their seasons are going to go, purely because, as you just touched on, the next two games they go away to United in the FA Cup and then they go to Stamford Bridge in the league. They've essentially, in March, they've got three games all away from home, all at good teams. So it's really is going to see what their mettle is in those three, for sure.
But, if they start their new season... if they start the first season in a massive new stadium in the Champions League, that gives them a huge start, a huge chance.
Who could have thought that would have happened? Who could have thought that would have happened? You know, they're 4-1 to win at Goodison Park at the weekend, by the way.
We should say, actually, with all this North London chat and whatnot, it all plays beautifully into the hands of little Leicester, who are still top of the league, and you'd quite fancy them to be at the end of the weekend.
I've got no dog in this fight, and I really want Leicester to win the league, and I'm happy to go on record as saying that.
Yep.
And when they got a draw... on Tuesday, I was actually a bit deflated.
I was.
Turns out it's a great point.
Marvellous.
No one else wanted a point, so it's a point gain, two lost.
I don't know what has happened. Has it become electrified, the cup? Nobody wants to touch it?
Yeah, you get electric shock if you try and win.
Yeah, weird.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. We're going to talk about more Premier League stuff after this.
Well, Marcus, I think it was a nothing result. I'm Craig Brown. Welcome to the Football Ramble.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365. The team that did get a point off Leicester were West Brom, of course. They host Manchester United. Manchester United are on the same points as Man City, although the Sky Blues have a game in hand. They've sort of come from nowhere. Everyone's been slagging them off so much. But there they are, challenging for the top four. I'd also like to point out that Chelsea are 8 points off the top four as well. Is it just going to all revert to type?
It'd be awful, wouldn't it? It would be so terrible.
Do you remember those facts, Ian, like beginning sort of around the start of the season when Chelsea and Mourinho were having that absolute, we have to say, very enjoyable nightmare that wouldn't end, which now ended. And at that point, we were saying, oh, no team who started this badly ever finished above eighth and stuff. I wouldn't put it past them to steamroll their way into fourth.
They're just motoring away. But all of those players that, were so badly out
should
of form.
Should be ashamed of themselves.
Should be ashamed of themselves. But Hazard aside, they're all back in form. He's playing better. He's just not scoring.
Good news for you, Chelsea fans. We quite like the manager now, so we're going to try a bit harder.
I think the most important point is that the Chelsea fans have stopped holding up signs.
Have they?
And I've not seen many. There was one at Arsenal last night, which I quite enjoyed.
What did it say?
A grown man saying Wenger out.
Wenger out.
Wenger and Kroenker out.
Was it? Okay, right.
You could probably get stencils for that. It's so obvious.
They should sell them outside the ground.
Or you could just think it, couldn't you? That's another option.
Yeah, what other stuff? Because it was funny, because there was a couple of Ramble listeners having a debate on Twitter yesterday about the Arsenal result against Swansea. And one of them was saying... I really ruined my experience because this guy, he was screaming at all the players and calling them all these swear words and stuff. And another guy replied, saying, oh, that happened to me as well. It's really annoying, And it turned out the people were both at the other ends of the ground. So I think it might have been happening all over the ground. It wasn't the same guy by any means.
People are just furious.
Yeah. No, I've said to you guys before, I find it an odd place to go watch football. But anyway, we talked about Arsenal already.
We did. Manchester United, though, away to West Brom, famously drew 5-5 there once upon a time.
Yeah.
Ferguson's last game in charge.
It was superb, wasn't it?
5-5.
Yeah. The great thing about that is that that was a very, really entertaining game, as we all know. And it was almost like Ferguson was saying, well, enjoy it while you can, because what's coming up next is a nightmare.
Well, Man United, they were up by a couple of goals or 5-2 or something. I can't remember.
Okay, I can imagine like the editorial think pieces in the back pages of the tabloids and stuff going, oh, isn't it good that Alex Ferguson's leaving because maybe he's lost his Midas touch? And going, No, it isn't.
Honest opinions from United fans. Would you take Ferguson back right now? I reckon they all would.
I tell you what, though. Manchester United going away to West Brom, we know Tony Pulis loves to spoil a party, which he tried to do against Leicester, but it turned out that the poor performances from the other teams actually made that okay.
He had his own party at Palace.
He certainly did. But, of course, when Liverpool were going for the league, they drew there after coming back from 3-0 down. Manchester United are coming to town. Man United are thinking, we're on the same point as Man City. Come on, we're on for it. And Pulis are going, is that right, is it?
Yeah.
Let me put that to bed.
Let me blunt you.
He's a blunter, isn't he?
One of the most Pulis things that happened was actually at the Palace game it's been reported, I don't know how true it is, but it's been reported elsewhere that Pulis is in a bit of a dispute with Palace over severance pay when he left there. So he rocks up there and goes 3-0 up after half an hour with his new club. Are you going to pay me or what? I'll call the boys off if you pay me.
Maybe we'll just go over to the opposing bench and give him an invoice.
No, get Chris Brunt to deliver it from his shin pad in the Pascal Chimbonda style.
Oh, goodness, yeah. Well, Palace themselves are playing Liverpool at home. They haven't won in 11 league games, is it now? Yeah. So it's so close against Sunderland.
Palace also, you know, partially when Pulis was there, they love spoiling a Liverpool party, don't they? But they don't really have a party on. So will Palace be up for this game if there's nothing to ruin?
Well, Pardew and Palace obviously failed to see the game out against Sunderland.
They won at Anfield, didn't they?
They did win at Anfield, but Pardew thought they deserved to win.
He always says that, doesn't he?
He does. Well, like Sam Allardyce.
Sorry, that was me doing an impression of Sam Allardyce.
Yeah, well, that's what Allardyce said, because Allardyce said, well, he would think that, wouldn't he? When have you ever heard Alan say that they didn't deserve to win? Alan says he plays well when he plays badly and he deserves to win when he shouldn't.
Oh, you beast.
I think they're pals. They must be pals.
He did say that, actually, us British managers have got to stick together. There's not many of us left and blah, blah, blah.
I love the whole British managers thing, which has really come out over the last year or so, which is that British managers don't get a chance. Well, largely, they're doing terribly. And the other ones have been sacked.
Because everyone keeps on employing Neil Warnock.
Sherwood got a chance at Spurs.
Think about that. Look at this season and think about that.
Every time that argument is wheeled out, someone should unveil one of those bedsheets with a massive 3D printing of Tim Sherwood's face on it. I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying as well, I've got to double check this, so you guys might want to fill in while I do so, that I think that Tim Sherwood has announced himself on Twitter.
No way.
I think he has.
He's announced himself on
Twitter.
He has.
That would be class.
He's Twitter outed.
One tweet just says bosh.
Well, that's how you would tell if it's real or not. Apparently, he's up there, but it may not be real. But it'd be fantastic if he was. But as you say, looking at it now, it probably isn't, because there's a lot of punctuation in there.
Palace are playing Liverpool, of course. Liverpool were fantastic against Manchester City. James Milner in particular.
Before we do that, can we give Pete a fair run at Palace and Pardew?
I think I had that on Tuesday.
That's right.
Yeah, I like
did
Palace.
You?
I don't like Pardew.
Yeah, but you did have that on Tuesday, but they got pegged back for a 2-2 draw at Sunderland.
Funny. It was a good goal, to be fair, but he should have really been covering his post.
What is it about Connor Wickham where for three or four games of a season he's Alan Shearer and then just utterly anonymous?
It's Darren Huckabee, isn't it?
Can we have an amnesty and talk about the new Shearer when Pete's around?
Yeah, exactly.
He'll just bring out Mitrovic again.
Yeah. He's already in the doorway. Let him in. Yeah. Let Mitrovic in.
What do you think about Connor Wickham being the new Alan Shearer, Pete?
I'm not having it.
As the country's premier new Alan Shearer spotter.
The NAS.
Yeah.
I am the head of the NAS.
Have you got many in your society?
It's just me. It's just me.
Is it? Okay.
A bewildered man who just wants it to be like the 90s again.
That's Marcus.
Sorry.
Colin Wickham is 244 league goals short of the Alan Shearer Premier League record, just so you know.
But who used to manage him? Who used to manage him, guys?
Yeah.
Who used to manage him?
Liverpool are 6 points off fourth.
I had a quote in my head and it's gone.
It's 6 points off fourth, Peter.
Well, I don't think they'll do it, though. I don't think they'll do it. I think they might even drop 2 points against Crystal Palace. Pardew's got the making of this match.
Do you think he's just going to start drawing every match and just be smug about that now?
I think, with the caveat that I don't think you can accurately predict the type of Liverpool team that's always going to turn up. Mm. But if they do turn up, and I think against Palace they probably will.
I think they will.
Because the League Cup final thing, that's done now. It's almost like that. I know they lost it, but in a weird way, looking at how they played against Man City, it felt a bit like the shackles were off. I know City are a little bit of a disgrace in areas of the pitch. Yeah. Palace aren't really in any sort of shape and haven't really given themselves any credit in the bank in terms of what we think of them. They're not playing well enough. Yep. But I think Liverpool will probably come out winners.
There's beef as well. They're going to want to win that.
There's always beef with Pards, isn't there? Yeah. That's Pards' family crest motto. There's always beef with Pards.
You're being very, very coy because I think Liverpool are going to win.
I know you're doing. You've made us do this as our bet of the week, Marcus.
Exactly, which is why I'm squinting at you all when you're saying I'm not sure because our bet of the week is this.
Well, it's a discussion. It's a ramble. Doesn't matter, does it?
It is a ramble.
Wait, no, we all bet together.
Yeah,
we bet together.
So when you're saying I think they might drop 2 points, well, that's nonsense, mate. You're a
nonsense
bet of the week.
You officially do not think that.
Yeah, the official line from the ramble is. we've considered this fairly carefully. We think Liverpool will win by 2 goals.
Yeah.
5-1 with Bet365. Our £50 stake will go on that. And the returns, if it comes in, will be £300, £250 profit. All that money, all of it, every penny, will go to Prostate Cancer UK. The fine people in their work over at Prostate Cancer UK. And you must be over the age of 18 to bet. And please gamble responsibly. Responsibly.
Yeah.
For more information on responsible gambling, you know where to go, guys.
Gambleaware.co.uk.
I'm out.
They didn't buy the .com.
No, no. Didn't.
They didn't gamble on
didn't
it.
Didn't get in there quick enough.
Didn't make it more local, it. Mate. Yeah. Do we have any correspondence?
Oh, we got a couple of emails. Gareth Storbart, thank you for your email, sir. Your dispatch, if you will. Hi, Ramblers. Having listened to your podcast while I was working in the USA, I've been meaning to email you a piece of information I heard from an employee of Fulham FC during an FA coaching course. It concerns former Wimbledon FC player Marcus Gayle. It comes from a time when he was managing at Staines Town FC, where he would have players in the dressing room at half times. He would get extremely angry at players who pulled out of tackles, who would shout, and he'd shout at them, "This is all you deserve, you pussy," while throwing cat food at said players. This story was later confirmed by a friend who was playing for him at the time. When I asked this friend, he replied, "I wonder how that got out."
So he's not even denied it.
He said, well, the friends say that, Chris Coleman. Not Chris Coleman. He goes on to talk about Chris Coleman.
Does he?
Let's not bring Chris Coleman into it.
Well, the only thing I can say on that is, and this is probably a measure of the man that I currently am, is that I find cat food to be very expensive. £3.50 for a pack of 12 it is these days.
It's real dedication as well to what is essentially a very angry physical pun.
Yeah. It's essentially a pun, isn't it?
A lot of work has gone into actually planning that
meltdown. And footballers aren't the cleverest to kind of get that, are they?
Oh,
they
really? Having a pop?
Oh, he's throwing meat at me.
Is that cat
generic
food?
Meat at me.
With jelly. Which has been grilled.
And calling me a vagina. What's the link?
I think it's very poor.
Yeah.
Very poor behaviour. What else have we got, Peter?
A little bit of news from Cesar Hernandez. He says, not sure if you've heard, but the 43-year-old Mexico legend and current mayor of Cuernavaca?
They're tricky, those Mexican ones, aren't they?
Oh, goodness me.
Those Mexican place names are tricky.
The current mayor is strapping on his cleats at the weekend to play in a farewell match for Club America. Although this doesn't seem like a big deal at first, the mayor is set to play 30 to 45 minutes in an actual league match.
That's Cuauhtemoc Blanco, isn't it? The guy of the famous the skill move.
Yeah, surely he's going to do it.
That's what all the kids are calling it these days, Jim, a skill move.
Just hold down the shoulder button. Yeah. I'll keep you updated as to what happens after Saturday night's game at the Estadio Azteca against Morelia.
He retired very late, though, didn't he? He retired at quite an old age.
He's probably in decent nick.
He's in decent shape for sure, absolutely. Because you always have that with the old testimonial type business. There's some players who are just so old that you're like, okay. And then you get players who still fancy it, clearly, still keep them in good shape, and they're about 38, and you think, this is unfair.
There'll be more of that, though.
Because
players nowadays, they'd look after
better
themselves.
Better shape, yeah. Because there was a famous story, I forget the player involved, and I won't name who I think it is in case it's wrong, because for legal reasons, but there was a guy who...
name that sounds like
no.
It.
there was a guy who was playing a very fairly famous football in the 70s who was claiming disability. This is not particularly a funny story, but it's quite interesting. He was claiming disability for problems with his knees from his playing career, and then he got spotted taking penalties penalties in a testimonial match and had his benefits taken away from him for that reason. But these days, of course, they keep themselves in such good shape and the sports science is so much more advanced that clearly that's not as likely to happen.
And if you claim benefits, you get deported.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
Where did you read that one, mate? Daily Mail Express.
Excellent.
All growed up.
Are we all done?
We're all done.
There we are. That's it. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. We're on Twitter @footballramble. The website is thefootballramble.com. We're on Facebook and Instagram, of course. Aren't we, chaps?
Yeah. We are on the last team.
Yes, we are. And you can check us out in animated format with Dean's fine animations at 44 Toons. He's a man who creates animations, song parodies, kind of really interesting kind of bits about the world of football. But he's done reproductions of us in cartoon format, and you can check them out at youtube.com/thefootballramble.
I've got a tweet that I should have read out, but I forgot. Can we do it real quick? I know it's not protocol. Cameron McIntosh being in touch on Twitter. So he says, in the original laws of football, teams are supposed to swap ends after every goal. Oh. I'd love to know if that's
true. Right?
Yeah. I don't
Amazing.
Know. He's claimed it.
So, somebody else emailed in. I didn't. It was a big long email, but they said that statistically, hitting the ball down the middle is statistically.
I saw that as well. Mm. Well, on our penalty chat, we said, "Oh, why bring variables into it? You know, place it properly."
Mm, yeah.
And it was from the guys who wrote Freakonomics, wasn't it? They crunched a lot of numbers and said, actually, statistically, you're something like 20% more likely to score if you hit it straight.
No, that's fine. That's absolutely fine.
Hitting it straight and, you know, doing a little stop and then dink, two different things.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the keeper could try and swing his foot at that if he doesn't go all into one corner, or at worst.
It slightly misrepresents what we were saying, I think.
That's right, yeah.
If you go high and middle, I mean, that's pretty unstoppable, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
We can talk about penalties all day. We won't score. Listen, England won't score any in the summer, so we might as well talk about it.
We might score one. Because Eric Dyer never grew up in England.
That's true, yeah.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Jim.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Marcus.
Goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.